The following is a Network Newswire audio production. As a multifaceted financial news and publishing company, Network Newswire uses its network of more than 5,000 key distribution outlets, as well as other corporate communication tools, to introduce private and public companies to a wide audience of investors, consumers, journalists, and the general public. Our reputation for highly efficient communication strategies is based on the experience and relationships our team has in the space. It is Network Newswire's unwavering commitment to connect the investment community with companies that have great potential and a strong dedication to building shareholder value. The following interview features a client of Network Newswire. Network Newswire may have been compensated for the production of this interview. Please be sure to read our entire disclaimer for full disclosure. Thank you, and here today as your host is Stuart Smith.
All right, everybody, as you just heard, you are dialed in to another online business briefing. I'm your host, Stuart Smith, and we're welcoming to the show for the very first time First Cobalt Corp. The company's traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the ticker symbol FCC, and here in the States on the OTCQB Exchange under the ticker symbol FTSSF. And we're lucky enough to be joined by the President and Chief Executive Officer of the company, Trent Mell. Trent, how are you today?
Hi, Stuart. Very well. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking the time to call in. Speak to your shareholders as well as the listeners to this program. And for the listeners who are not yet familiar with you at First Cobalt Corp, if you would, let's talk about the company and its business model.
Sure. And the business model basically is premised on the revolution we're seeing today in electric vehicles, and specifically the lithium-ion battery. Cobalt has become a key component. And in fact, there's more cobalt today by value in a lithium-ion battery than there is lithium. And so over the last 12 months, a number of companies have popped up to try to satiate a growing supply deficit. And we're one among them. We're in the middle of a transaction that will make us the largest player in the space. But effectively, we're a supply-side response to a growing demand for electric vehicles.
Well, listeners, you can learn a lot about the cobalt market doing your own research. You can learn a lot about this company at their website, firstcobalt.com. Go ahead and follow along, and especially go ahead and hit /projects or right along their menu bar. You can follow along with some of the projects we'll be talking about. But first, let's learn a little bit about you, Trent, and your background and any other key members of your team.
Sure. My own background, I was there at Gold, the biggest gold company in the world, and worked my way through a number of producers. And then through time, I recognized that, frankly, there's more fun to be had and more value to be created at the other end of the spectrum, starting companies, doing the discovery model, and making those discoveries that, on the one hand, bring new supply into the world and also can make all shareholders a lot of money. So transitioned that way. I started a company now that has a 9 million ounce reserve that's ready to be built, and more recently joined this company because I just see a tremendous lack of new supply in the cobalt markets to satisfy this kind of Tesla revolution that we're seeing in the market.
Outstanding, Trent. Well, obviously working with Barrick, one of the leaders in this industry, gave you a nice seasoned background to lead this team. So let's talk about that team. Any other key members?
Yeah, the two vice presidents, the key members of my team. First, you've got Dr. Frank Santaguido, who's got about 25 years of experience all over the world exploring for base metals. Split his career between two producers, Falconbridge, and then more recently with First Quantum. So you know, Australia, Europe, Africa, North America, he's really seen it all and joined us here about 7 months ago. The other key guy would be Peter Campbell, 35 years experience. He's an engineer. Most of his career, again, in industry, and like Frank, like myself, with big producers. So Falconbridge was where he cut his teeth, spent most of his career, and then spent a bit of time as a sell-side analyst getting to know the capital markets. A couple of other members in the team, but I'd maybe highlight a couple of directors as well. Paul Matysik, well-known capital markets individual who has done a number of transactions over his career, Gold Rock, Fortuna Silver, Lithium One, Potash One. So he's a great creator of value. And likewise, Bob Cross, the founder and now the chairman of B2 Gold, a gold company with about a $4 billion market cap. So we're aided by some real good, astute capital market folks on our board.
Well, it all starts with a great team, but let's talk about now what the company's accomplished in its young life. You're a company that's about 8 months old, as we discussed in the pre-interview. Let's talk about what you see as some of the milestones achieved by the company so far here in 2017. Go ahead.
Well, I would put those two, I guess, milestones into two different buckets. On the one hand, let's talk about the capital market angle and the investment thesis, and then I'll talk about the actual asset. When you look at cobalt, there, it's hard for investors to get exposure to a commodity that's been the best performing commodity in 2017. It's doubled this year. And investors look at that and they say, well, wait a minute, most of the cobalt is produced as a byproduct of nickel and copper mines, and it's produced by some giants like Glencore. So if I want to be a cobalt investor, it's hard for me to go out and get that. So a number of juniors have popped up, and we sought to be a go-to name, and we're doing that by, frankly, quickly becoming the biggest and the most liquid. So we're doing a three-way merger, and the opportunity here for investors is to invest in the biggest exploration company in the world in the cobalt space, and at the same time, you get something that's liquid. And so if you want exposure to cobalt, sure, you can invest in Tesla or Ford or BMW and what have you, but you know who's the winner in there, you don't know. So go to the commodity, and with us, you get a pure-play cobalt company. The asset that we're looking at, and that's the other problem with this space, two-thirds of the metal today is being produced out of the Congo. And so you've got geopolitical issues, you've got some social issues around labor practices, some of the small mines with artisanal miners employing children and the like. So there's a general aversion to investing in the DRC right now. So what we're doing is we're going to what I think arguably is one of the best, most prospective emerging camps outside of the Congo in Canada. In a district in northern Ontario with a town, nearby town, coincidentally, that is called Cobalt, Ontario. And 100 years ago, this was actually a top-producing silver camp in the world, 100 different former mines. And so through this three-way merger, we've basically locked up half of a camp encompassing 50 past producers and amassing a land position, frankly, that's never been done before.
Let's move ahead and talk about what the company's going to be doing here in the remainder of 2017 as well as into 2018.
So these are early days, and if you look at, there's something called the Lassonde curve in the mining world, and where value gets created, and mining companies create a lot of value at the discovery level. You do your early exploration, you pick the right team and the right property, and upon discovery, you create a lot of value, and that's really our focus right now. We're in a camp that has a long, long history as being a top silver jurisdiction, top silver producer in the 1920s, but also a lot of high-grade material, high-grade silver. And over its history, in an era where cobalt was not a sought-after metal, it actually produced a lot of cobalt and a lot of high-grade cobalt. Now, in that era, you were producing small tonnage, high-grade. These were small, little narrow-vein underground operations. But modern mining methods call for bigger operations. So you sacrifice the high-grade for lower-grade, but you do these big bulk tonnage operations, these big open pits. They're sometimes big, actually more economic in today's world of mechanized mining. And so we're doing what, frankly, I've done this a couple of times in my gold career. You go into an old camp 4 decades later, and lo and behold, there's a new mine, but it's bigger. And we're trying to bring that same engineering, that same concept into an old silver camp that hasn't seen any exploration in 50 to 75 years, depending where you are. And so thus far, our efforts have been on consolidating data, consolidating land, some early stage mapping and sampling, and doing all of the basic groundwork you need to do to start drilling, and now we've just started our first drill campaign. And as we get into the end of this year, we're going to assess all of that data. We've got some great results, a lot of smoke, if you will. And starting next year, we're going to look for the fire. We've got a bigger land package to choose from. We'll be a little bit further up the learning curve. We expect to do a lot more drilling to try to delineate some of the best area kilometers. So it's a big land package to try to figure out where we should focus our efforts.
Well, let's talk about some of those regime out November 2nd, 2017, using those ticker symbols again, FCC on the TSX Venture and OTCQB ticker FTSSF. Let's talk about the results that you released on November 2nd. Go ahead.
Yeah, so our first drill campaign was focusing in on a series of four mines. It's over a 2-kilometer area, and in particular, two mines noticed, Keeley and Frontier. And these two were among the biggest of the 100 mines in the camp. These would be in the upper sort of decile. And they're also the two mines that produce some of the highest ratio of cobalt relative to the silver produced. So a natural starting point. And we set up the drill along the trend of that mine. And we're trying to basically look at what the mineralization looks like outside of these high-grade veins. So can you wrap a bigger circle, a bigger envelope around what was historically mined on a narrow vein basis? And so early results, we've got 62 holes drilled thus far. We only have 8 holes back, but we thought in advance of a shareholder vote next month that's going to bring these three companies together, we'd at least share some early results. And so we've got half a meter of 0.8%, which is double or maybe more than double the grades of the operations you see in the Congo. So this would be a high-grade intercept. And along with that, we're seeing an interesting, what we call it, a halo of base metals. So this camp is known as a silver camp, cobalt overlooked, and now as we're getting into it and bringing some modern geoscience and doing, frankly, drilling and other work that's never been done, we're seeing copper, we're seeing nickel, and we're seeing, you know, further away from the mineralization, the core of the mineralization, we're seeing lead and zinc. And that becomes an important footprint, if you will, for the geologists as we go out and seek to explore and understand the model that we're looking for. And as we try to identify what an economic deposit might look like, cobalt and silver, frankly, feature prominently. But having the nickel and copper as well in there just enhances the economics. And importantly, it starts to give us a little bit of a signature and a bit of a geological model that we can start to apply as we start looking beyond this footprint to drawing out some of the other 46 mines in the camp.
Well, Trent, in your background, you talked about your history at Barrick, so this is not your first rodeo, as we say here in Texas. Now, so what is giving you the confidence that this project is going to be successful?
Yeah, I guess two things. Just from a big picture context, if you look at a lot of the big, I'll go back to gold, a lot of the big gold mines that have been developed in North America over the last 25 years, many of these, in fact, I'd say most of these are not discoveries. They're actually rediscoveries or a rehashing of old operations. And there's an expression in our business that if you want to find a mine, the best place to find a new mine is in the shadow of an old mine or a headframe of an old mine. And in this case, we've got 50 of them to pick from. So, you know, we're clearly in a rich district. And I think our odds here are much better than they would be in a barren or in a new greenfield project. Now, over and above that, the benefit of having all these historic operations is we've got a whole bunch of what we would call waste rock. So they would mine this vein, and everything around it was stockpiled as barren rock and no mineralization. What we have done is we've gone through the camp and sampled a number of these muck piles, as we call them, and the grades are actually, by today's standards, more than economic, very impressive. And these are representative of the kind of rocks we would want to see in a future mine. And it gives us enough, again, some smoke and some encouragement that this deposit, or this camp rather, needs to be drilled out and needs to be systematically assessed for its economic opportunity. So we're not going in blind. We've got history, and we've got some modern science here on our side. And we just need to spend a little bit more time doing the data compilation, and then ultimately drilling is that's the test that will prove the worthiness of these various targets.
Well, Trent, thank you so much for your time, your insight, your candor about your company, giving us the background on your team, as well as an outlook to the bright future your company have. We look forward to great things from you in 2017 and well beyond. Thanks for your time today, Trent.
Thank you, Stuart. Have a great day.
All right. For Trent Mell, this is Stuart Smith saying thanks so much for listening.
This audio interview is an original broadcast provided by Network Newswire, a multifaceted financial news and publishing company delivering a new generation of corporate communication solutions, including news aggregation and syndication, social communication, and enhanced news release services. Network Newswire may receive payments for corporate communications relations, as well as various press releases and social media solutions provided to its clients. You should assume that officers and directors of Network Newswire or financial analysts mentioned hold a position in and may intend to trade these securities for their own accounts. This interview is not an offer or recommendation to buy or sell securities. Information in this broadcast is presented solely for informative purposes and is not intended to be, nor should it be construed as, investment advice. As in all investments, an investment in the featured company carries an investment risk. Listeners should review the company thoroughly with a registered investment advisor or registered stockbroker. This audio interview by Network Newswire does not purport to be a complete study of the featured company or other companies mentioned. Information used in statements of fact have been obtained from the featured company and other sources, but not verified nor guaranteed by Network Newswire as to completeness or accuracy. Such information is subject to change without notice. Please see our full disclaimers and disclosures at networknewswire.com.